Shepherd's House is a non-denominational church located just a few miles from Glasgow, Kentucky, on the Edmonton Road. The Shepherd's House family invites you to Bible study on Sunday at 9 a.m., worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, and the Sunday evening service at 6 p.m. Midweek service at the Shepherd's House is Wednesday at 7 p.m. The Shepherd's House family cordially invites you to any of these services.
Being applied to your life, it's impossible for you to make it to heaven. There's no other name under heaven whereby that you must be saved except through and by the name of Jesus. Amen. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. If you're listening by radio, you can go to www.theshepherdshouse.net and get the entire program, our TV programs, live streaming's closer to an hour, and the radio is only 30 minutes. I'm going to do quite a bit of reading today. I want to focus on Jesus and the resurrection and the death and crucifixion of the Lord. And sometimes we need to be reminded of what he did for us on the cross. And as I was studying yesterday and praying over the message for today, I wept and wept and wept under the power of God, because it reminded me of what Jesus did for me. And you know, I know that within my heart that if I had been the only one to be redeemed, he'd have still went up Mount Calvary just to pay for my sins. He would do the same thing for you, because we know that God is no respecter of persons. The difference between those that are saved and ready to meet God and the others is this: we've got plans. Our plans is to be in a beautiful place called heaven. Those that's not prepared to meet God, you're still planning on living for the devil, enjoying sin, enjoying your life under your control the way you want to do it. And you're not ready yet, but I'm going to tell you, you better be getting ready, because we don't know when it's going to be the last day that we're going to be upon this earth. We're here today, and we're gone tomorrow. I don't know how many times down through the 43-plus years I've been preaching the gospel, that I've stood in the pulpit, preached to the people, tried to love them and encourage them to come and to pray and to put their faith and trust in God. And before the next Sunday, during that week, they'd slip out into eternity, and I would do their funeral. And the next Sunday, there'd be an empty pew. I can show you empty chairs where people that I loved used to sit right here in this church. They've gone on to be with the Lord. They didn't know what day they was going to leave. You don't know what day you're going to leave, and I don't know what day I'm going to leave. We just don't know. We all got plans on living to be about 100. But sometimes it don't work out that way. One of the hardest funerals I ever done was for a little baby 2 months old. The parents was crying, and I felt so sorry for them. And the little child was laying there, sweetest little thing. Looked like a little doll laying in that little short coffin. It just broke my heart. See, we don't know. We're here today, and we're gone tomorrow. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. After death is the judgment. Now, I'm not called by God to tickle your ears. If I was called to tickle your ears, he would have put me in a little box and marked Q-tips on it and stuck me on a shelf at Walmart. I'm called to preach the gospel, put the warning out. Amen. Life is real, and so is death. And judgment is coming to you and I. Amen. We all will stand before the judgment seat of God. And if the blood has not been applied to our lives, we're not going to make it, folks. That's all there is to it. Amen. Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse number 26. This is what the Word of God says. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." And sitting down, they watched him there, and set him over his head, and set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and another on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is to say, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, "This man calleth for Elias." And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, "Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him." Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to bottom, to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city, and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, "Truly, this was the Son of God." Turning now to St. John, chapter number 20. 3 days later, listen to what happened. "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, 'They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him.' Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple came to the sepulcher. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulcher. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their home. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she went, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Let us pray. Father, in the loving name of Jesus, Lord, once again, Father, we come before you thanking you for this opportunity to come and to preach the infallible word of God. Father, asking you, Lord, to hide me behind the shadow of the cross, that no honor and no praise would come to me in the flesh, but Father, that the name of Jesus might be praised, uplifted, and glorified for now and forevermore. Father, asking you, Lord, to anoint me. Without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, I know, Father, that, Lord, all is said and done would be void, and it would be in vain. But Father, we ask you to deal with the hearts of those, Lord, that have no hope. Father, deal with the hearts of those, Lord, that are thinking in the back of their mind, one day I'm going to get saved, but not today, because there's things that I want to do yet. Father, Lord, help them, Lord, to push through this deception of the enemy, Lord, that tells us that we've all got plenty of time. But we know, Lord, that that's certainly not true. Father, we ask you, Lord, to cause those, Father, that are not ready to meet you, Lord, to sit up and to pay attention. And Father, Lord, today, this resurrection day, as we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our King, I pray, Father, you would deal with them in such a way, Father, that, Lord, that they would not be able to push you away as they have in the past. Lord, we ask you, Father, Lord, to move upon every person. Lord, give me breath. Give me a voice, Lord, to be able to preach your word today, and strengthen me, Father, and use me. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, we humbly pray and ask these things. In his Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing in reference to the reading of the word of God. The title of the message today is His Death Gave Us Life. His death gave us life. See, in order for us to be able to receive this wonderful plan of salvation, Jesus had to come according to the will of the Father, and he had to pray to pay sin's debt on the cross, so that there would be a way made to reconcile a fallen man back to God, because sin had separated man from God, because God is holy, God is light, and in him, the Bible says, is no darkness at all. So there had to be a mediator. There had to be a bridge that was made from fallen man back to the Father in order for us to have a way to make it to his kingdom. See, he's a God of love, not a God of hatred. And the Bible says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That means the wino. That means the drug addict. That means the whoremonger. That means the homosexual. That means whoever it may be. It's not God's will that anybody should perish, but all of us would have a way to make it to heaven. See, today, give God praise. Today, if you go to hell, it's going to be over the top of the sacrifice that was gave on the cross, over the top of the blood that was shed, that was not stolen and he was not taken, but he freely gave his life. He freely gave his blood. It was not spilled. I've heard some songs that said his blood was spilled. His blood wasn't spilled. It was payment. Payment for my sin. Payment for your sin. See, it's so easy to make it to heaven. Some people makes it such a hard way. You got to do this and you got to do that. But Jesus said, whosoever will, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. All we have to do, just confess to the Lord that we are a sinner. Amen. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shall confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth, believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Going down to verse 13, it says, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't say might be. We've got the promise. If we will just believe and call upon him, there's a way made, and we can make it into heaven, becoming spiritually born again, confessing to him our sins. Now, sometimes people get it in their mind, I've got to try to remember everything that I did from a child up and see if I can remember all the sins that I did. Well, you got a better memory than I have if you can remember all the sins that you ever committed. But I'm thankful that we can just come and confess to the Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I believe in Jesus. I believe he died, resurrected again. And I believe he loves me enough. He's going to wash away my sins, cleanse me from the inside, and set me free. And if you'll believe and pray, God's going to come into your heart. Now, how hard was that? Not hard at all. The hardest thing's going to be to take your foot and make the first step toward the altar. That's the hardest one. The second one won't be near as bad. The third will be easier. Time you get to the fourth, you're going to be trotting almost, going and coming to the altar. It won't bother you a bit. And I tell you one thing, you ought to try Jesus. If you don't like him, the devil's got a good place in hell for you. He'll take you right back immediately. But I'll guarantee you, you're going to like Jesus if you'll surrender your heart and your life completely to him. His death gave us eternal life. His death not only gave us eternal life, a way to make it to God. Now, the Bible says only the pure in heart shall see God. How can our hearts be made pure? Only through Jesus Christ. Ourselves, we don't have the power. If we had the power to forgive ourselves, Jesus would not had to come and to give his life on the cross and go through all of this suffering. If we had the power to be able to save ourselves, we all need a Savior. We all need Jesus in our lives to touch us and to help us. Well, Brother Jimmy, I've been saved and I keep trying and I keep falling off the wagon. They just keep on trying and keep getting back on the wagon. Amen. And praying that God would give you strength and keep pressing on. He's not counting the times that you failed. He's counting the times that you got up, dusted yourself off, and went on for the Lord after asking Him to wash you clean and to set you free. See, the Lord wants us to be happy. There is life, the eternal, and there is life of happiness here on this side. Now, you might say, well, I'm living without the Lord, and I'm happy. No, you're not. You just think that you're happy. Amen, because you're going to be miserable at many times. You're going to know there's something missing in your life. I said this down in Alabama, and I'll say it again here. What a lot of people don't realize, hell's going to be a place of fire, so the Bible says. It's going to be a place of darkness. And one of the worst things about hell is not just the fire or the heat that's going to be there, it's the darkness. Because God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. So that means anything that is good or pleasant or connected to love won't be in that place called hell, because God's not going to be there. You're going to be cast as far as possible away from anything that's good, any type of light, any type of kindness or joy or anything at all that's righteous or right. You're going to be cast far away to never be able to be next to God anymore. See, we've got a Savior that died on the cross to pay the price, to set us free from our sins. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to miss heaven when the payment's already been made? If somebody today, if you were in debt, and let's say you'd owed for your home, and you owed for your car, and you owed for everything that's in your property, and you done maxed out two or three credit card payments, and if someone said, I'll pay every bit of that for you and you'll be completely debt free if you'll just give your life to me, you say, oh well, my goodness, they're gonna get me out of it. Why, yes, I'll accept it. But yet today Jesus died on the cross to set us free from our sin debt, and yet we, many has turned Him away. Many today will spend their time fishing and not worshiping. Many today will look at Easter bunnies and candies and things of that nature and not think about, you know, what was done on the cross. Many Christians won't come and recognize what the Lord did and recognize the power that was given there upon the cross and how that He gave everything to us. I'm going to go back and read this verse or two over again that I read earlier. I'm not going to take up much time. Matthew 27, verse 52. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. That means torn in half. From the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake. And the rocks rent. That means to break. And the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. I'm very thankful today that the veil of the temple was torn. Now then, what that simply means is no longer do you have to go into a high priest and have him go in and pray for us. But even the weakest that there is on the planet has got a free opportunity to call on the name of the Lord by choice. At will, they can call on the name of the Lord and ask Him to touch our life and to move in our hearts and to save us. So, Brother Jimmy, I don't know how to pray. Amen. Welcome to the family. I didn't either. I was scared to death. I didn't know how to pray. I never had prayed before. I was shaking all over when I asked the Lord to come into my heart. I remember I was a little bathroom in a little farmhouse there in Allen County, Kentucky, years and years ago. And I was under conviction really bad. And I was in that bathtub. I got out of that bathtub. I'm sure I looked like a dog that got out of the creek. Water running everywhere. I didn't even dry off. I knew that I had to pray. I got out of that bathtub and I thought, I'll clean this up later. I got some business I got to take care of. I got on my hands and knees and went to praying, calling on the name of the Lord. And the Lord lifted my sins. It felt just like a covey of birds flew out of my chest. It felt just like somebody reached down and took a 100-pound feed sack off of both shoulders. both shoulders at the exact same time, all that covey of birds went to flying out of my chest. And I felt like I could fly. My, how the burdens was lifted. I knew that I'd been set free. I knew that I'd been born again. I want you to know, it was the easiest and the smartest thing that I ever did. And why I put it off so long, I have no idea why I could have been so ignorant to put off what I needed the most in my life. The Lord's helped me down through the years. He's gave me life. He's helped me. He's helped me in financial situations. Amen. Now, let me stop right here and say this, especially for those watching my television. You can't send in a one-time love offering and God just open up heaven and pour out a blessing. Mm-mm. Now, it'll help you. I know God will honor you, and he'll bless you, but it's not going to take care of all your needs. What God needs is a commitment to give your heart and your life to him, and then he's going to take care of you. Amen? And see, some people think so one time trip to the altar takes care of everything. Now, I know you can't get saved but one time. I understand that. But boy, you can sure rededicate. You can sure move up and get closer. You can sure come back and get a touch from the Lord when you failed him and you slipped backwards. Amen. See, some people think I made a one trip. Listen, when I go to them buffets, I don't get a one trip. Well, that's a waste of time. I want all you can cook. I mean, all you can eat. Amen. I want to just keep on going back. It's the same way with God. He don't want to just go one time and say, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray, dear Lord, my soul to take. Amen. Well, that's a good nighttime prayer, I guess, if you'll add it on to some of the other praying that you need to be doing. But that's not going to get us into the kingdom of God. Amen. We've got to be born again. We've got to confess to him. Amen. We need to have the attitude. Lord, there's only one hypocrite in the whole state of Kentucky. Now forgive me of my sins. Lord, there's only one person that I can blame all this mess on, and I shaved him this morning. Only one person, and you put Avon, if you're a lady, on that one person that's your enemy today. Thank God, from the many trips down to the altar, not to get saved, but to rededicate and to move up. And some of y'all going to get blowed and knocked off your seat. And to grow. Amen. I was getting ready for the communion service, getting everything here before that. I went on a trip. And
thank you for watching our TV program. We hope that it's been a blessing to you. We could use your financial support. The TV program is doing better. We've got a few more contributions from the Chicago area. And also, we've got some now coming in from the New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico area. We thank God for that. However, a one-time contribution is sure a blessing, and it sure does help. But in order to continue, we need your monthly support. Our program bills, TV and radio comes just like clockwork every month, and we sure do need monthly support. Also, we are doing our Kenya Christmas fund for the orphans in Kenya. When we were there in 2019, we had 16 churches. Now we've got 30 churches, lots of orphans. And you can write on your check for Kenya, or you can put a note in envelope with your money order saying for Kenya, or perhaps you want to do a portion, so much for Kenya, so much for the TV. Just let the Lord lead you and guide you on that. But we do need your monthly support, and we sure appreciate it, for without it, we would not be here. You can send your check or money order to Jimmy Wilson Ministries, Post Office Box 1346, Glasgow, Kentucky, 42142. Again, that's Jimmy Wilson Ministries, Post Office Box 1346, Glasgow, GLASGOW, KY for Kentucky, 42142. Also, we will be happy to give a contribution letter and mail it out to you the first part of this next year, so you can have your money. Donations would all be tax deductible, as long as you've got an address and a name, so we can send you that contribution letter. We'll be happy to do that. Thank you. God bless you. And please help us pray for this ministry. God's allowing us to touch many people with the message of the love of Jesus and the repentance that's needed for all the folks in not only Kentucky, but all around the world. God bless you. Thank you so much.
HLERadio.com, Jennings, Louisiana.